Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy."
Oh, house, and I am 7 years old, and I am a Christian saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Good evening, and welcome to the Sound Doctrine broadcast with Dr. Ventura. We are live from Imperial Beach, California. We have a very special program tonight and hope that you will stay with us. May God bless you through this program. Thank you.
Dear Lord, we come to you tonight and we just pray that we get a good message. We pray for Dr. Ventura. Please help him give us the message that you intend us to hear, Lord. We want to pray for all the listeners around the world, Lord, and hope that they hear something that they need to hear. Maybe they're going through a tough time this week, and they just need to hear, Lord. So we pray for them. We pray for the program, all the listeners, and everybody in this world, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I want to thank you, Brother J.P. Albin, for that prayer and getting us fired up here. I have a special tonight. We're going to have a song by Angelica, Sister Angelica and Sister Savannah. They've come to sing for us tonight. We usually don't do these things. We go right into preaching. But tonight I want to bring something special to you. And so without further ado, here we go. And the name of the song is I Surrender All. Amen. And we need to surrender all.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all, to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. Truly know that thou art mine.
Thank you. Thank you. It takes a lot of courage to get up and to speak up for the Lord, doesn't it? And I want to thank you, Sister Angelica and Sister Savannah, for taking the time to come up here and bless us with that song, get our hearts prepared for tonight's sermon. We're going to preach a little bit out of the Old Testament, and I'm going to give you a little something. I hope that's going to help you in your life. If you go with me to Psalm 37, and our text will be Psalm 37, verses 1 to 7. You know, we're living in precarious times right now, and the world is full of uncertainty. And the truth is that there's a lot of things to be upset about in this life. But if you put your comfort in your heart into the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find that God has a way of bringing peace. The Bible says when we got saved, we made peace with God. And then we get the peace of God. And the peace of God is that peace that surpasses all understanding. And if you just rest your hearts in the Lord, you'll find that peace in your heart no matter what circumstance you're in. Tonight I want to talk to you about victory over worry. Victory over worry. And I have four words in this passage that I'm going to read. And those four words, I pray, will stick in your heart. If you just take a pencil and maybe just underline that in your Bible, these four words, or write them on a piece of paper and put them in the Bible, and I promise you, if you just stand upon these four words, you're going to find that you're going to stop this worry. We've got terrorists killing Christians all over the world, in the United States, and innocent people. We have civil disorder, and in our own country, we have apostasy in our churches. We have a crime rate that is just skyrocketing. In Chicago alone over the weekend, 70 people were killed. We've become the land of sudden death. We are in the end times. There is no question we are in the end times. And now, more than ever, we really need not to start worrying. I know it looks like there's things to worry about, our finances, our homes, our children. Listen, God said some things, and I want you to hear them tonight. Psalm 37, verses 1 to 7, the scripture reads, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." And that word fret means don't be full of care. Don't worry. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. "Neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Amen. Amen. Holy Father, we just bow before you and thank you, God, for this opportunity to bring forth the word of God tonight, to touch hearts and to change minds. And, Lord, comfort our hearts and touch this message to our hearts, that we would live by it, Lord. Now, I want you to know that worry is a worthless emotion. Worry does not help solve tomorrow's problems. It will not help you to solve today's problem. In fact, worry will drain your strength. And you need your strength. You need your strength to face today's trials and temptations. Lord said that the evil of today is sufficient of itself. In other words, yes, we know we'll have tomorrow should the Lord hesitate in coming, because he was waiting to get that last Gentile saved, that unsaved person. We thank God he's long-suffering. We thank God that he hasn't ended this yet. Because there are people who need to be saved. And if they can't get saved in the age of grace, I assure you they will not get saved in the tribulation. It will be too hard. Today is the day of salvation. And worry will drain your strength. And you need that strength. You need that strength to face today's trials and temptations. The sweet psalmist David, he's calling upon us, and he's telling us to stop worrying. Stop fretting. Stop fretting. Psalm 37 was written, and it will help every Christian, man or woman, boy or girl, young or old, rich or poor. Fretting, worrying is a problem in the Christian walk for all Christians. And Christian, you and I, we need victory over worry. You know that that Prince of Peace, they called him, or the Prince of Preachers, not Peace, sorry, that's Jesus, but the Prince of Preachers, Spurgeon, he said this was a psalm in which the Lord sweetly quiets the common complaints of his people. Now, David, in the context of this, doctrinally and spiritually, David was fretting over the prosperity of the wicked. And I wonder this evening, I wonder, folks, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, what is your worry? What are you fretting over tonight? By way of illustration, I want to point out to you tonight four words now, four words that I am sure that will help you to have victory over your worry. Whatever you may be worried about tonight, whatever you are fretting about tonight, the first word I want you to underline in the book of Psalms, Psalm 37, verse numbers 3, you see the first word? The first word is trust. Trust. Trust is another word for faith. The Christian life begins in faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, through trust. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen for that. Acts 16:31, "And they said, believe, trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Brethren, friend, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible. You must have faith. And you say, "Well, I don't think I have enough of faith." Listen, if you sit in a chair and you don't expect it to break, that's faith. You had faith that that chair was going to stand up. Kind of faith you need to put in Jesus Christ. Oh, you have faith. You don't even realize it. You have faith in worldly things. You get on an airplane to fly across the country or to another state or another destination. Why, that airplane was made in hundreds of different countries, probably. And all parts, hundreds of parts made in different countries, and they all came together and were assembled. Oh, you have faith. You have faith that the manufacturer has done the right thing. Well, I want you to know the manufacturer of mankind is God. And God has given us some promises. And he says, you need to trust me. You need to have faith. You need to have the same kind of faith that when you go to sit in that chair is going to hold up. But I'll tell you what, that kind of faith will fail because that airplane may come down. That chair may break. But when you put faith in Jesus Christ, God's Son, I'm telling you, you can believe that you don't have to worry about it changing. You don't have to worry about it failing because Jesus Christ will not fail you. Amen? He's a wonderful God, and he loves you. And friend, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why, it's written over there by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You want to be rewarded by God, you need to diligently seek him. You must have faith. Faith in his word, faith in his promises, faith in his son. You and I as Christians are to live by faith. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, by trust." Excuse me. Listen, the peace of God comes through faith. If you'll just turn with me, please don't lose your place. I have three other words I want you to mark here. But the first word is trust. But I want you to go with me to Philippians, and I want you to look at a verse in Philippians, a little short passage with me. And come on, you know, we've come to hear the word of God, and like Nehemiah, like Ezra, we need to open this Bible. You know, if your Bible's sitting on the shelf collecting dust, that's probably why you're so worried about stuff. You're not filling your heart with the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the more you fill yourself with the Spirit of God, the less worry you're going to have in your life. Amen? Now I want you to look at Philippians with me, chapter 4. Go to chapter 4. And I'll give you a second to get there. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 8 says, "Be careful for nothing." You know what the word careful means? It means full of care. Now listen, yes, we should be cautious in our lives. But we shouldn't be to the point where we're worried. so full of care that we're worried, oh, what's going to happen? Oh, my wife is driving to work. I hope she gets there safely, and I hope she's doing the right thing. I hope her behavior is correctly. My kids are going to school. I hope they act right in school, and I'm just worried all day. No, we don't worry. We put our children and our family and our finances and our homes and the materialistic blessings that God has given us, we put them in God's hands. Philippians says in chapter 4, verse 6 to 8, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Do you pray? Have you prayed for your children when they go to school? Do you pray for your God to take care of your finances? Do you pray for the things that cause you to have care? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't think about the worry. Think on those things. Amen. What's true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous. Amen. Whew. We get our mind caught up in this world and the philosophies of the world and the problems of the world. Oh, it's election day. Who's going to get in? Listen, I'm going to tell you who's going to get in. Whoever God wants to get in. God holds the reins of the nation. And this nation is in trouble. But I'm not worried about it because I know God's in control of it. And it doesn't matter who gets in up there. God's in control of this thing. So I'm not going to worry about it. Amen? And neither should you. This is that fear or worry is the opposite of faith. You see, the opposite of faith is fear. But you need to trust. There is a spirit of fear in the world. 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul writing to a young Timothy, he said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. You see, it's a spirit. There's a spirit out there, and it's a spirit of fear, and it didn't come from God. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Job asked, whose spirit came from you? And I ask you tonight, are you being seduced by the spirit of fear? Because there's a spirit out there. It's called the spirit of fear. Amen? It's a spirit of fear. And you need to check out that thing. Because you don't want the spirit of fear in your life. Because the spirit will cause you worry. But I'll tell you a secret to this. Faith drives our fears away. And a great example of trusting God over worry is found in 2 Samuel chapter 10. You know Joab was surrounded front and back. I mean, it was a terrible war was going on. And there was clashing of armor and clashing of bodies. And people were dying by the sword and by the chariot and by God sending down hailstones. I mean, it was just a terrible thing. And what happened was they were surrounded. They were surrounded before, in front, and behind. And Joab is a seasoned warrior, a seasoned soldier. And Joab says to his men, here's what he says. He says, look, be of good courage and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God. And the Lord do that which seemeth him good. And Joab and his men, you know what? They got victory over worry by faith, by trusting God. Amen. And they won that battle. They won that battle. Now listen, you say, what's it mean to play the man? Okay, well, every one of us has had to play the man at one time or another in your life and in my life. Did you ever walk across a dark parking lot at night and you heard footsteps somewhere and you were very, very nervous, or you were in a town that you weren't familiar with and you're walking alone and you're starting to wonder, you know, am I safe here? But you don't want to show anybody that you don't feel safe. And so you walk like you feel safe, and you walk like you belong there, and you get to your car or your house or your hotel, and you go inside, and you say, whew, I'm safe. Well, amen, you played the man then. That's what it means. You played the man. You played the woman. You really weren't sure of the situation, but you just kept your faith in God. You just kept walking ahead, you see? So you played the man, and that's what Joab did. He said, look, let's play the man and see what God does, and God blessed them, and they put their trust in God. So the first word you need to know is you need to trust God. You need to have faith in God. So back to our Psalm 37, verse number 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Amen? All right, here's the second word I want you to look at. Go down to verse number 4. You see the word delight? Underline the word delight. Write the word down, delight. Delight thyself also in the Lord. To delight means to take pleasure. To take pleasure. And you and I are to take pleasure in the Lord. Great joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Nehemiah 8, there's a verse that says that the word of the Lord brings joy. Amen? God's word brings joy. If you're reading the word of God, you will have joy. See, you and I are to take pleasure in the Lord, delight in him. See, our walk with Christ Jesus is to be our delight. Psalm 105:3 says, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Hallelujah. I got a place that I can go and I can see the Lord Jesus Christ and he can solve my problems. He can comfort my heart. I can trust in him. And when I'm trusting in him, oh, how sweet it is that I can delight in the Lord. Amen. Amen. What a wonder. What a wonderful thing. See, our walk with Jesus Christ is to be our delight. Now, I want you to think about this. Whatever brings pleasure reveals the reality of your heartfelt faith. Let me say that again. Whatever brings you pleasure reveals the reality of our heartfelt faith. When speaking of reality, you know, I tell people that most people in life try to avoid the reality of life. They try to avoid reality situations. For instance, you take our own families. Every one of us, we look at our families and we say, this is our family. And there's the family we have. But you know what? In our minds, we don't accept the reality of that, and we think of the family we think we have. But the reality is different. You see, there's a family you think you have, and then the family that you really have. I think you understand what I'm saying. And so what I'm talking about is the reality. The reality. You see, and people try to avoid the reality instead of just saying, okay, this is my family. I accept them as they are. I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to pray the Lord change them. But instead, we make up our mind, oh, they're all wonderful people, and they, you know, and all that stuff, you see. Now, if money's your delight or your joy, if money brings you pleasure, then you know what's going to happen? You're going to fret. And I'm not talking about money bringing you pleasure. Listen, it's okay to have money, and you can do things with money. But remember, money is the root of all evil. Not money itself, but the love of money. The love of money. If you love money more than Jesus Christ, then you know what? That's the root of all evil. You are going to have worries in your life if money is your delight, if money is your pleasure. Then you're going to fret. You're going to worry at the thought of losing that money. If success is your delight, you're going to fret. You're going to worry at the thought of failure. You see, when Jesus Christ is your delight, you're going to find pleasure in the reading of his word, just as the people did in Nehemiah 8. When Christ is your delight, when Christ is your pleasure, you're going to find pleasure in reading his word and prayer. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, our Lord and Savior is recorded to have said that men ought always to pray and faint not. You know what it means to faint? And the Lord's not talking about passing out on the ground, that kind of thing, although it could apply. Some people have known to worry so much that they passed out. You know, they've taken their eyes off the Lord. But he says that men ought to pray always and not faint. In other words, don't fear. Don't live in this fear. Pray about it. God, give me strength to deal with this situation. Help me, Lord, with my finances. Help me, Lord, with my church. Help me, Lord, understand the word of God. Help me, Lord, through the situations. Help me through my traveling. I pray for traveling mercies. I pray for my family, the things in our life. I pray for our government. You see, that men ought to pray always. And listen, it's not just talking about men. We're talking about women. We're talking about children. You ought to not faint. Here's the third word. The third word I want you to see is in verse 5. So trust in verse 3, delight in verse 4. Here's the third word you want to underline or write down. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Amen? Commit. To commit something is to entrust something to another person. We're to entrust our way, our path of life to the Lord. Proverbs 3:5 says, trusting in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Listen, Lord, I don't know why this situation came up in my life. I don't know why I'm going through this trial. I don't know why I'm having these problems. I don't know why this happened to my family member. But I know one thing, Lord. Nothing happens unless you allow it or you make it. So I trust you, Lord, and I praise you, Lord, for the situation, because I know it's going to turn out for your glory and the good of everybody. Amen. That's just the way it is. You have to commit, entrust something to another person, entrust your way, your path of life, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not onto thine understanding. You know what it means to lean on something? You ever lean against the wall with your shoulder? And you trust that wall to hold you up? Well, when you lean against the Lord, he's going to hold you up. The wall may fail. The pole you're leaning on, you might slip off of, but you're not going to fall off of the Lord. He says to lean on him. Put your weight on him. Lean on him. Not on your own understanding. See, you and I are to give the Lord our trials and treasures. Oh, that's hard. We're to give the Lord our trials and treasures. And remember, Jesus told his disciples, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, there's a lot of Christian people walking around. Because God will give a lamb a long rope. And they're playing with God day and night, day and night. They know the walk they're supposed to walk. They know the talk they're supposed to talk. They know the life they're supposed to live. And they're out there running wild. And God will give a lamb, he's long-suffering, a lot of rope. But when he pulls that rope, it's over. And everything that you're putting your faith in, and everything you're putting your trust in, that is not of God, you're going to find that God will take it away from you, curing those things. Because they were blessings from God to start with. And you start putting those materialistic things before the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have problems in your life. So commit. We're to give the Lord our trials and our treasures. And remember, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You're to give the Lord your trials and your treasures. All of your todays and all of your tomorrows. Jesus Christ said, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow, tomorrow, will take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Listen, we got enough of garbage to deal with in our lives today. You want me to worry about tomorrow? Well, Lord, I'll pray about it. Lord, help me when I get to tomorrow, Lord. Help things to be better. Help me in the areas that I need. Amen? Some of you think that verse that says the Lord will give you the desires of your heart means you go out and say, God, I want a Mercedes-Benz. Hey, listen, maybe God will give you one. But that's not what he's talking about. The desires of your heart. God will give you the desires of your heart. When the Holy Spirit came in you when you got saved, and God is working in your life, he's telling you to work your salvation out. Bring what's in out. The desires of your heart. You will desire the things of God. God will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires so that you desire the things of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, not what you want. That's not what he's talking about. We're to give the Lord our trials and treasures. At salvation, when you came to the blood-stained cross of Christ, you trusted your soul to Jesus Christ. And I assure you by the word of God, you can safely entrust your souls to Jesus today. The same as when you came to the cross of Jesus Christ and you said, Lord, I repent of my sin and I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe he died for me. I believe he was buried. I believe he resurrected on the third day. And I believe he's sitting on the right hand of God the Father right now. And I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ who died for my sins before I go to hell. And that's what happened. And I assure you, the Word of God, you can safely entrust your souls to Jesus. So here we are. The first word is trust. The second word is delight. The third word is commit. And finally, the fourth word is rest. Rest. You know what it means to rest? Some people don't know how to rest. Oh, they can't do anything without the television on. They can't do anything without the radio on. They can't be quiet. The Lord said, be thou still and know that I am God. Be thou still. You know what it means to stand still? Shut it all down. Give God 100% of your attention. Shut it down. The worldly music down. Get the worries of today out. Rest means to relax. Sometimes you just need to sit still and relax and meditate. Think about the Word of God. And I'm not talking about transcendental meditation, put your mind in an altered state. I'm talking about, you know, a friend of mine who didn't have a very good education once said, I said, brother, what have you been doing all day? And he says, I've been marinating on the Word of God. How about that? He didn't even know what he said. He meant meditating. He's been marinating. You know, you marinate something, you put it in something, and it sits there, and it absorbs it, and it soaks it up. And maybe that's what some of you need to do. Marinate in the Word of God. There's a sermon to preach. Rest. Rest. We need rest. We're in society. We're running here. We're running there. We're running here. We got to get the kids. We got to get the soccer field. We got to get the football field. We got to get the baseball field. We got to get the grocery store. We got to get to work. We're in traffic. Oh, traffic. And then we're listening to the radio. We're listening to the news. And we got to go again. Come on, let's go. Let's go. We got to go. Everybody's running. Where do you rest in the Lord? People say, well, I don't have time to read the Word of God. Hey, listen, are you kidding me? You go to Psalm 117. Here, you can meditate on this all day. Here's the psalm. You ready? I'll give you the time frame. Psalm 117. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. How about that? I read that psalm in less than 30 seconds. You can't tell me you don't have time to read the Word of God. You're just lazy, or you're backslidden, or you're just not putting Jesus Christ first in your life. That's the truth. Less than 30 seconds, I read a whole psalm. And there's a lot in there. There's a lot in that little psalm that you can meditate on all day. Trusting the Lord's in there. So the fourth word is rest. And when you rest, you relax completely. You know God rested. And Christian, you and I, we need rest too. The word rest means to cease from work. Genesis 2:2. Back to basics. Genesis 2:2. Scripture says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. In the context of Psalm 37, rest means to stop working on worry. Why are you working on worry? Some of us do that pretty good. Well, I don't have time to stop and pray. Hey, come on, cut it out. Some of you can get on that telephone, and you can talk and talk and talk, and you don't have time for the Lord. Come on, cut it out. You have time for the Lord. You're just not making time for the Lord because he's not your priority. Some of you know sports. You could give all the stats of the baseball players and the teams, who's above 500, who's below 500. Some of you know every football player's name. Some of you know every tennis player, soccer player. And you don't even know all the names of the apostles. You think there was only 12. You forgot about Barnabas. You see? Well, what are you talking about? Why? Because you don't know your Bible. You don't know your Bible. And because you don't know your Bible, you don't know God. You know of God. Rest. It means to stop working on worry. And some of us are just pretty good wearing ourselves out working on worry. You know that worrying and stress will break down your immune system. And that's why laughter is good medicine, the Bible says. Laughter is good medicine. Worrying will break your immune system down. And some of you are sickly because you worried yourself. And you've ever heard, oh, he's worrying himself to death. Well, there's something to that. There's something to that. Medical studies have shown that people who pray live longer. Why? Because they have the peace of God. They know how to rest in the Lord. I was on the table at the Balboa Naval Hospital. I was dying from anaphylactic shock. And my wife was there. And she said to me, the doctors had just come in, and they just stuck an EpiPen in my leg, and it didn't have an effect. And that hit me again. And finally, they got it intravenous. And my wife said to me, please don't die on me. And I said, Marilyn, I says, it's okay. If I get there before you, I'll save you a chair. I'm resting in the Lord is what I'm telling her. The nurse said, she was standing there next to the bed, and she said, this is weird. This is weird. And she said, I've never seen this before. And my wife said, what's wrong? What's wrong? Well, I couldn't talk. I got a tube in my mouth. And so the next thing I know, the doctor comes in. He says, what's going on? And she said, so she looked at me and she said, mister, you must be a very calm person. She said, all the adrenaline we've given this man to speed his heart up, and he's calm. His heart rate is calm. And I couldn't talk because I had a breathing tube there. But I wanted to say, I'm resting in the Lord. I'm resting in the Lord. Hallelujah. I know where I'm going. I have full trust in God. I have full trust in Jesus Christ that if I die from here, my soul and spirit is heading up north to the sides of the north. And I'll see you all there when I get there. And I'm not worried about my church. God's got somebody to take care of that. It's not my church anyway. It's his. That's how you rest in the Lord. Hey, if I didn't believe this stuff, if I didn't trust God, if I didn't rest in the Lord, if I had to worry about everything, my goodness, I better get out and quit being a Christian. What's the purpose of saying you love the Lord Jesus Christ? You don't trust him. And then he sends you a pastor who preaches to you every Sunday, and you ignore what he tells you. The man of God. Listen, when a man of God came into town, like Elijah, Nehemiah, whoever it was, Ezra, the people gathered together. They wanted to hear what God said, because God has chosen certain men to bring his word to you. And week after week and Bible study after Bible study, the pastor tells you what the word of God says. He expounds. He gives a sense from the reading of the word and what message that God has given you. And you ignore the truth. You ignore the pastor. And what you're really saying is, I don't believe God. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some guys out there that went and some guys that were sent. Don't be hooked into the Rick Warrens and these other guys there, the Benny Hinns and those guys. Don't get hooked into that stuff, I'm telling you. Hey, man, why, if I had the gift of God, I'd be running through every medical facility in the country. Jesus Christ healed everybody that came to him. He didn't say, I'll heal you later. We're not oil robbers. We don't wait for the tent to blow down and then call ambulances during a healing ceremony. There's a lot of phony stuff going on in the world. I'm not going to sell you miracle water. I have trust in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit, I get washed through the word of God, and I rest in the Lord. And I laid in that hospital bed, and I was resting in the Lord. And they came in, and they said, we have good news, and we have bad news. And I was on that table for 5 hours. And they said, here's the good news. We saved your life. Bad news is, we don't know about next time. We can't figure it out. In fact, we're sending you to a specialist outside of the Naval Hospital, a private one that maybe could figure this thing out. And I said, okay. I didn't get up and say, honey, I'm going to die tomorrow. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I said, amen. Well, hey, I know where I'm going. But in the meantime, I'm going to keep going in that direction. I'm going to keep pressing like you push a thumbtack and press towards the high mark of the call. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to delight in the Lord. Amen. I'm going to commit everything I have to the Lord. And then I'm going to rest in the Lord. Do you ever have a hard day and you come home and you lay down on that mattress and put your head on the pillow and you just rest and say, ah, what a great feeling that is. Well, that's the feeling I get when I rest in the Lord. And I lay back and just trust God. Listen, the world is on its way down. It's prophesied. You are not going to change it. Now the Lord does say if we pray for our land and the people of the land repent, if my people, right, if my people, and if you repent and if we pray for this land, God will be merciful. God will be merciful. But I'm telling you, you could no longer stop Armageddon from coming than you could stop John the Baptist from showing up. So you need to just rest in the Lord and stop fretting. Yes, when you leave your home, you be careful. You don't be full of care, but you have care enough to walk into the world and to know that bad things are happening, and you should stay alert. Hey, I don't go into a restaurant until I've been in there for 2 minutes, I've looked at everybody in the place, and I know where the exits are. And my problem is, and that's why God keeps me out of a lot of these situations, is my problem is I'm going to run for this guy that's got the gun. I'm not running out the back door. I know if I die, I'm going to heaven. Maybe I can spare somebody else's life. That's a decision you make at the time. The Apostle Paul was let out a window in a basket. His enemies were waiting for him in the front. He went out the back. So we should be aware. We're in perilous times. I read recently that 60 or 70 people were blasted off the earth by lightning. Imagine that. Yes, yous do care. Yes, yous do diligence. But don't be so full of care that you're worried about everything. You can't sleep at night. Rest in the Lord. Amen. Hey, Christians are to rest in the love and the care of the Lord. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, worrying. So I'm asking you tonight, why? Why are there so many Christians full of fretting, full of worrying, full of anxiety? Why? Because you're not trusting the Lord. You're not delighting in Him. You're not committing yourself to Him. You're not resting in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Jesus Christ brings peace to your daily life, resting in the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him until we meet the Lord in heaven, that day, the day of the rapture, when you and I will be changed instantly. 1 John says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man, listen, every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Amen. Hey, listen, we have a hope. We have a trust, and I believe Jesus Christ is coming back. Over in the book of Acts, the angels were talking. There's the disciples watching the Lord ascend from the Mount of Olives, and the Lord had given them some instruction and told them some things. And Scripture says that while they looked steadfastly, Acts 1:10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Hey, what are you looking at? What are you standing here looking at? That's what He's asking them. This same Jesus, not another Jesus, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go to heaven. Amen. Amen. Hey, what are you staring up there for? Hey, get on with the Lord's business. He gave you instruction. Go to Jerusalem, Samaria. Go preach this gospel. Never mind watching and standing there looking into space. All right, Jesus went up. You saw him go up. Relax. Rest in the Lord. Commit. Trust. Delight. Commit. Rest. He's coming back for us. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. Let every man be a liar. Never Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ made the promise will be fulfilled. It was fulfilled. He said he went to his Father. He is there. He is our advocate. And if you're saved, you're not going to lose your salvation. Stop worrying about that nonsense. Never mind this charismatic nonsense. It's impossible to get renewed. They're in the book of Hebrews. They're not even in the Pauline epistles. They're trying to apply something that Hebrews, written to Jews, and they want to apply it to you. Listen, if it's impossible to get renewed, and he was talking about losing your salvation, then, brethren, what are you even trying for? Ask some of these charismatics that nonsense. Well, if it's impossible, impossible means it cannot be done. And they're talking about a verse that has nothing to do with you. I didn't earn my salvation. It was a gift of God. I cannot lose it. Well, what if you die when you're committing a sin? Oh, go get back in your crib, your Christian crib, and drink that milk all over again. Because the Bible says in Hebrews, when it's time you should have been teachers, you need to go back to the first doctrine. You're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge. Cut it out. Cut it out. My brethren, if you want to listen to the Word of God, Psalm 37:1-7. Listen, David was fretting about all his enemies and all the things going on around him, and they were prospering his enemies. How many times have we seen evil people in the world prosper? Look at Saddam Hussein. He prospered. Well, he led that country through an evil rule. Where is he now? Look at Hitler. We watched him prosper. Where is he now? Well, Jesus Christ prospered, and I'll tell you where he is. He's sitting on the throne, on the right hand of the Father. And he loves you. When you love somebody, you want to trust that person. If you don't trust that person, you really can't love that person too much. I'm not saying everybody's trustworthy and to blindly walk through life just trusting everybody, but you need to trust God, and he'll give you wisdom in the situation. Trust in the Lord, in the Lord. Commit. Give everything you have to God. Casting, that's what it says in the Bible, casting all your care. You know what casting is? Remember, he was dealing with fishermen. And people understood. Casting. You take the fishing pole. You put the worm on the hook. And you throw that thing out. You cast it way out there. That's what God wants you to do. Cast your care to him. Throw it out there to him. He'll take care of it. Amen? Trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Commit in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And if you'll do those things, my brethren, I assure you, 100%, you will have victory over worry in this life. You will have victory over worry. Amen? Hey, we serve a mighty God. We serve a good God. And he's merciful, he's long-suffering, and he's forgiving. And if you're out there tonight, and maybe you got backslidden, well, maybe today's the day you need to get your trust back. Maybe you need to rest in the Lord. Start delighting in the Lord. If you're unsaved, I'm pleading with you. Hell is a real place. Jesus said hell is a place where the worm dieth not, and there is torment there day and night. Hell was not the dump outside of Israel. And I know they say the Greek word Gehenna, and the dump that burned outside Israel that burned all the time, and they used the word Gehenna when they wrote the word for hell, and he really meant the word the dump where they burn the stuff outside of Rome. No. but that dump was forever burning and the people could understand what he was saying about hell. Hell was a place like that, it would burn forever. Only hell burns continually forever. You see, you have to take this Bible literal where it's meant to be literal. You have to rightly divide the word of God, my brethren. And if you're unsaved and you're out there tonight, I'm pleading with you. The time is short. The days are short. The Lord Jesus Christ will come back one day, and there will be the shout, there will be the trumpet, and there will be people leaving this earth. And then we'll be in the tribulation. And my friends, you're back under the law, and Lord have mercy. You know that the people under the law were killed for picking up sticks. They were stoned to death on a Sabbath day. Lord have mercy. Aren't you tired of the life you're living? If you're worrying, commit it to the Lord. Delight in Him. Trust in Him. Rest in Him. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your life is going to be full of misery and worry and ups and downs, because Satan's going to hold that carrot out in front of you, and I don't care what it is. He knows what everybody desires, and that one besetting sin, he's going to hold that carrot there, and you're going to chase that baby, and you're never going to get it, because he doesn't reward you. He hates you. He's the arch enemy of God, and he hates mankind. He sought to destroy mankind. He wants to destroy the creation of God. He wants to be king. And he wants to rule your life. Well, Jesus Christ said, if you trust in him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that's what it takes. And if you're unsaved and you want to know Jesus Christ and you're tired of that life you're living, you want to change your life, then pray with me. Pray right now. Say, Holy Father, I'm a sinner, and I repent. I turn away from this past filthy life I've been living, this sinful life, and I come to the cross of Jesus Christ, believing that Jesus shed his blood and died for my sins, and that he was buried, and that the third day he resurrected, and he is now at the right hand of the Father. And I ask Jesus Christ, and I put my trust and faith in him to be my Lord and Savior. Now, if you've done that, call me at 347-945-5416 and press extension 1. We'll take that call in 1 minute, Nathan. If you want to talk to me privately, my personal number is area code 203-240-0377, or you can email me at ventura.peter77@gmail.com. And I will respond to you, and I will send you some literature that will help you, but you need to get a King James authorized version of the Bible and to find a sound doctrine, Bible-believing church. If you pray that, welcome to the family of God. Okay, Nathan, I'll take that call. Go, caller.
Ah, how you doing, Peter?
Joseph Gibson here.
How you doing?
Good, my brother. How are you?
I've got about several people in the chat room here that have been listening to you. I asked them to listen in tonight, so they were listening to you. And a couple people emailed me some questions. I guess they're a little shy to call in, but like I said, I asked about 5 or 10 people to listen in to you tonight. About 5 or 6 are in the chat room listening to you, so that's pretty good. At least more than half of them listen to the message tonight. But a couple of people asked me some questions, and, you know, they say, yeah, put your full trust and faith in the Lord and stop worrying about things, but that's easier said than done. Who pays the bills, Peter?
Well, it is. You know what? Well, God said he doesn't leave his people hungry in the streets. And all of my bills have been paid. I put my faith in the Lord. Yes, we go to work. Yes, we do the things we need to do. But we trust that the Lord will keep us safe in those things. We trust that our lives are comforted in Him. That's what we're talking about. People don't realize how much faith they have. As I said, you sit in that chair, you believe it's going to hold you up. That's faith.
Yeah, but Peter, I'm talking, there's a couple of people here that are listening tonight that really believe, but yet, you know, they're homeless. They have nowhere to go, and they put their faith in the Lord. Nobody's paying their electric bill. Nobody's paying their rent. you know, they're homeless. And that's easy for someone to say who has a home and a church they belong to, and they got a good salary and a lot of friends. But what about those people out there who are lost, who believe in the Lord? Who do they turn to?
I believe this. I have many friends that over time that I meet here in Imperial Beach, California, and around the state of California and other places who are homeless and who are strong Christians. But I found one thing, that God opens doors for them, and God will take care of them, and God will lead them to a place where they don't have to be homeless. There are resources. There are Christian resources. There are churches. And God himself will put his hand upon those who are faithful, and he'll open the doors for them. But the problem is that a lot of people, Joseph, are satisfied being homeless. A lot of them like that. And I've met quite a few. I've met them that don't want a rent bill. And what they do is they have a Social Security check at the end of the month. They go to a hotel. They burn that up. And then they go into alcohol, drugs, or whatever they do, their party. And, yeah, they love the Lord. Well, where? They don't go to church. They don't fellowship. They forsake the assembling of the brethren together. And then they want God to bless them.
You're right.
See, that's like saying,
you're right.
That's like
you're
saying,
right. Peter, you're right. Not to interrupt you, but you're right. There is a part of the population that does do that. You're right. But what about the people out there? And we know, you know, and Nathan knows, and all the listeners out here tonight know, there's really good people out there that are striving, but yet they keep getting knocked down and they have nowhere to turn. Say something to them, you know, to give them hope. And they have faith. They do. They believe.
I
talked with them.
I have hope. I told them to trust in the Lord, rest in the Lord, delight in the Lord, pray, and God will open the door for you. God will open
the
door.
What do you say to the person, Peter, when they say, when? I've already lost my children. I've lost my home. I've lost my job. When? How much more? How much more do I have to endure? And if we live in the age of grace, and I believe, then why? Why am I suffering like in the Old Testament? Why am I suffering like Job? Why? How much more? What do you say to those people?
I tell them, carry your cross. I had a friend who told me, I've been praying and praying for the Lord to use me. He ended up with cancer, and he was laying in the cancer ward. And he was about to die. And he said, God, I asked you to use me. And here I am laying here dying. And the Lord put it on his heart. How many people have you witnessed to and won to Christ here? Nurses, doctors, your testimony. I did use you.
Okay. Well, that's a good answer. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I know one thing.
Answer.
I know if a person's, I know nothing can happen in my life as a Christian man who's walking correctly in the Lord, that nothing can happen unless God allows it or he makes it happen. And I know I'm told as a disciple of Christ to bear my cross. And the cross means the end of the cross is, it's not just a burden we bear. The end of the cross is death. And in the world we'll have persecution. But I've met many, many homeless people who choose to be homeless. And they whine. They don't want to go to work. They want the world to owe them something. And the world doesn't owe them anything.
Peter, have you ever heard of the machine?
Peter, real quick. I've had people call in and say to me, well, you know, I grew up in the inner city, and if I was in a perfect environment, my life would have been better. And I made the choices I made because of the place surroundings around me. Well, I want you to know that Satan, Lucifer, was in a perfect environment in heaven where there was no sin, and the Bible says the sin began in his heart.
Peter, Peter, real quick, not to interrupt you, but have you ever heard of the machine gun preacher? The preacher that went over to Africa and he saves he was a biker, prison, came out, was shooting up heroin, and now he's dedicated his life to saving the children in Africa, and he's a Baptist preacher. Have you ever heard of him?
I may have. I may have. We have our own missionary that goes to Africa, but I may have.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll talk about that in private, I guess, but I just thought maybe you might have known. But what I'm trying
to
–
What I encourage the listeners to do and especially if you're homeless, I encourage you to pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will open a door for you. I encourage you to put your faith in him, and the Lord will. He feeds the ravens, he feeds the birds, and he will feed you. You know, one day I was driving down the street here with children from our home after a Thanksgiving Day dinner, barbecue here, and we said, come on, we need to go out and reach some of the homeless. And we were driving down the street, and there was a man sitting, and he was sitting off to the side on a rock reading his Bible. And they stopped the car, and they said, sir, are you hungry? And he came running over, and he says, praise God. I was just praying that the Lord would bring me a meal. He says, I can't believe it. That's how God answers prayer, brother. If a person's heart's right, God's going to bless them. And yes, we all go through trials and temptations. Not everybody's successful in life. Not everybody. But we know one thing, our reward is greater in heaven. And so we may have to suffer down here, some more than others. That's just life in itself.
But is that your answer, Peter, to the people who ask that question? Say, why then? Why me? Why me? I mean, we live in the age of grace. Why? You know, I mean, well, yeah, I get what you're saying. Hang on. Let me finish.
The reason is sin, and sin came into the life through our forefather Adam. And the condition of the world and the people of the world is that we're a marred world. It's not a perfect world. And why you? That's what Job said. Why me? And God said, listen, I'm the potter. I mold the clay. You don't.
But
so
that's all well
Lord.
And fine.
Whatever situation
that's,
you're
yeah,
in,
that's
whatever
all well
situation
and fine, Peter,
you're
age
in,
grace.
Whatever situation you're in, you pray, and God will open doors for you. And you know that because God's opened great doors for you and I. You and I came out of a place, we were homeless. Yes, we had some people that helped us. Thank God for that along the way. But you know what? God opened doors for us because we kept our faith, we kept our testimony, we kept telling people about the gospel, we kept winning souls to Jesus Christ, and God just kept opening, blessing us. We didn't deny his son before people, and he doesn't deny us. And if a person truly 100% puts their heart in the Lord, submits their life to the Lord, and just says, look at Lord, somehow I got in this situation. Most people can't even figure out how they got in this situation. Some people know how they got there. Lord, I'm asking you to bless me, to lift me up, to make me the head and not the tail, to open a door for me where I can have a job, to open a door where I can have a home. I have many homeless people that I know right now that are going to college, but they live in the street. But they're going to college. They're not just wallowing in there saying, well, you know, what? And they're Christians. They're not saying, well, I don't know what I did to deserve this, but this is my life. I have a guy that used to call me every week. Oh, Pastor, I'm so depressed. Well, what are you depressed about? Your father's God. You got the King. Stop calling me and telling me you're depressed. Praise the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Get on your knees and do some praying. Do some real praying. Stop waiting for somebody to reach down and hand you a $2 bill.
And that's what it is, Peter. And that's what it is. See, we live in a secular world where we live in a materialistic world. And we're dealing with Christians of today who have the flat screen TVs and nice cars. And they're saying, hey, why do you have that and I don't? So you as a pastor, how do you explain that to the people who are less fortunate and then the people who do have? You say, well, God divides it up. You can't say that.
I think this. I think Jesus Christ said you'll have the poor with you always. So if you're looking to get rid of the poor, you can forget that. Somebody will always be rich and somebody will always be poor. It's the world system. There's nothing just about it. Okay? There's nothing just about it.
Okay.
But if I keep sitting around, woe is me. Why am I here? Woe is me. And pitying myself, how am I ever going to get up and go? I got out of prison after 26 years. I got up every morning at 3 o'clock in the morning. I walked 3 miles in the rain, in the snow, and I went to a labor raid, and I sat there, and I waited to be called out to work. Some days I went, some days I didn't. Some days the Lord let me, some days he didn't. But I'll tell you what, my rent was paid. I had to put an effort in, too. God gave me a brain that functions. I can't just sit and wait for the basket of fruit to fall from heaven on my head.
Okay, I could respect that point of view. But again, Peter, what I'm trying to say is, you know, again, yeah, your point is very well made. But at the same time, how do we as Christians, you're knowledgeable, I am, the brother Nathan is, the people may be listening tonight. There was a couple that sent me emails. I hope you gained some knowledge from this. They didn't want to call in. They don't like to call in. They're a little shy, but that's okay. Hopefully they gain some knowledge. But, Peter, how do you explain to the people in this world today, how could we not be concerned about our situation that we're in, living in America or Germany or England or wherever we are, and how do we just look up to the sky and say, God's going to handle all our problems, so don't worry about it? Are we not supposed to be concerned about the problems we face today as human beings within our government and society, community, or family? I mean, can we just say, God's going to handle it all?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I have a concern, but I'm not worried. I don't go to bed sick at night because Hillary Clinton may get in. Jezebel might get in. I don't worry about that, okay? I'm not going to worry about that. You know what I'm going to do? Dr. Ruckman, who read a book a day since he was 10 years old, did more for the King James Version in the 20th century, 21st, 20th century, than most people will ever do. And he'll tell you he never even watched the news in all those years. Why? Because he was too busy serving the Lord. You see, because it's already written. Let's not kid each other. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't have a voice in my community. As a Christian, I should have a voice. But if I want to change my community, I need to win some souls to Christ. I need to change the hearts. That's how I'm going to change society. It's not going to change. You can't legislate morals. Government is created to restrain the sin of godless men. That's what government is. Because a God-fearing man is going to live a moral life. Okay? Now, listen, we get honey. And I preached a sermon on this. How's your honey? I'm not talking about your wife or your girlfriend. I'm talking about honey. God blesses us with honey. Here's the funny thing about honey. See, honey, you can find honey in the woods. In some countries, they smoke them out of the tree when they find the beehive and they bring that honey home because sugar is not an abundant sweetener. So it's a very special thing, and the tribes bring it back to their houses and to their cities, and everybody has a great time. It's honey. But you know what the funny thing about it is? God blesses us with honey from time to time. But remember this, and this is for my Christian brethren who are being blessed and who have been blessed. Don't take that honey for granted, because the next time you go back, that beehive might not be in the same place.
No, I agree with you fully, Peter, And I know you got to just start getting ready to wrap it up, but I want to thank Nathan for allowing the people in the chat room and me to get through to, you know, ask questions on their behalf. And we need to really get together more on these blog talk shows, because alternative media is where we're going to get the truth. You know, you're not going to hear your sermon, Peter, on CBS News. You're not going to hear it on NBC. So we need, you know, so we need to unite on the alternative media. Nathan knows that, you know that, and I know that. So anyway, I'll let you go ahead and wrap up your show, but thanks for allowing me to come in.
You're welcome. For those who don't know, Joseph and I, we've known each other for many, many years, and we've served the Lord in many different directions. And Joseph has a Blog Talk Radio program himself, and you find some interesting characters there. It's it's not a Bible teaching, Bible preaching. It's an awareness program, and you can find some truth. He has some great people that have come on. He had the Chris Kennelly, who's Veterans for America, who's running for president. He'll be on the ballot. There is an alternative choice, by the way, between Hillary and Donald Trump.
Amen to that.
And I'm not endorsing anybody, but I'm giving you that information. And he's had the people from China, a prime minister, one of the prime ministers, from ex-prime ministers, I think, from Canada, ambassadors. And so you'll find a great selection of people, common people. And when I say common, I mean people who are not holding offices, people who
including
are just like
yourself,
you know,
Peter, including yourself.
You know, you and I. And so there is a variety of issues discussed, and they're real issues and real problems in America. And, you know, I recently had an evolution discussion between Christianity and evolution. And sometimes these are passionate subjects. But I want you to know, if you are homeless, praying God keep you safe. We have a problem in San Diego right now. We have somebody who is murdering the homeless.
Oh my Lord.
There's been over four attacks. So we ask for your prayers for those people.
Oh my Lord. Yeah, you should have told me about that. I would have announced that on my show. Oh my Lord. Wow, that's a shame.
Yeah. Well, they say they have a suspect in custody right now, but we're not getting anything further on that. We'll find out. But I have to ask for prayer for Joe, his family, my wife Marilyn, who stands by me. You know, Marilyn's the one. You know, when God gives you a wife, she's a wonderful wife. And my wife said the other day, she said, you know, God tells you to go to China, you know, we'll pack up tomorrow. So, amen.
Marilyn's a good woman. Marilyn's a good woman. I'll vouch for anyone who's listening tonight. Marilyn's a good woman. I have a lot of respect for her. I've met her a couple times now, and she's made such an impression on me. And, of course, like Peter said, Peter and I we go way, way, way back, and we don't need to get into that. That'll take up a couple of shows.
You,
but anyway.
I'm going to let you give your information in a minute. But for those who keep a prayer list, we need Sister Joan, who is a pillar in our church, an older woman. She's been having trouble breathing. We need to pray for her, and we need to pray for Gene. He's fractured his foot, his ankle. And we need to pray for Kenny. Kenny's a brother who had been away from the Lord, who's come back strong now, and he's having some physical problems. And I told him I'd mention it to our listening audience. We have a strong prayer audience. For those who have been praying for Scott Bruff in his eye, I want you to know that we went to the doctors. The cornea abrasion is healed. The infection is gone, and he is seen. Those who prayed for Pastor Shanks with me in Delaware, that spot on his brain, it has disappeared. And they took him off the medication, and nobody ever figured out what it was. So, you know, we are seeing healings and miracles. And I want to thank Aiden and JP. I don't know if you listened in to the beginning of the program, and Savannah and Sister Angelica, our secretary at the church, who want to thank you for coming on tonight and singing and being a part of the program. It was a blessing to me, and I hope the audience was blessed. Joe, why don't you give me your call sign and the name of your program, and then I'm going to turn this over to Nathan.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Peter. Thank you very much, and I want to say thank you. And like you said, members of your church, and listen, we're Christians. Peter and I, we go way, way back. Nathan, we built up a relationship now over the past year and a half with this radio program, and we need to support each other. That's why I called in tonight and asked a few of my callers. I just felt it, you know, within my conscience to say, hey, let's show our support for Peter's program tonight, you know, even if you disagree or whatever. You got questions, go into the chat room then if you don't want to call in. I'll speak for you. And that's what it's all about, because what I said earlier, the alternative media is where we're going to get the truth. And if you're sitting down watching Fox News right now, or if you're getting ready to go after you hang up from this program to go watch TV, shame on you. You should go open your Bible then, or go back and listen to alternative media, because this is where you're going to receive the truth. Brother Peter's program, I promote it, the Sound Doctrine program. Nathan, all his shows, I support him. He's a brother. He gave me my start. I mean, I wouldn't have a show if it wasn't for Peter and Nathan, actually. This is what sparked
me. What's your contact?
Okay. It's Understanding the Times in Which We Live In Today. Okay? And the phone number is 657-383-0616. And I broadcast on Sundays and Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And just so you know, I really, really, really always, callers are the most important part of my show, because I want to hear from you, because that's what's important. And like Peter said, we have to help each other, you know. Let's bring each other to the Lord. And Peter said, yeah, my show is not really about the Bible, but at the same time, I am a Bible-believing Christian, and I rightly divide the word, thanks to Peter. And go ahead, Peter. Thank you for allowing me to say that. And thank you, Brother Nathan, for allowing me to be on your program also. Peter, go ahead, brother. Thank you very much.
Okay. I want to thank Nathan also. We're a guest on this blog spot. This is not, this is Enterprise Media, who has given us this guest spot and allowing us to preach. And, you know, the funny thing is, when they first came to me and told me that they were giving me this guest spot, I told them, well, you know, some of your listeners and some of the other programs you run, are in direct opposition to what I preach and believe. And they said, Peter, preach what God put on your heart. And so that's what we do. And so I thank Nathan for his time. You know, Nathan's a hard-working man, and then after work he comes and he gets a studio set up and the switchboards, and we appreciate that. I'd like to just pray right now, Holy Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I thank you for the program and for the opportunity to speak to Brother Joseph and to preach the gospel in truth, old path preaching, without all the nonsense, and I thank you, God, for that. I ask you to touch hearts and minds of those who listen, and that they would not worry, Lord, about the things of life. That, Lord, yes, concerned, not worried, that they would trust in you. And if anybody was saved tonight, Lord, by listening to this program, that you just hold them in the palm of your hand, put your angels before them and behind them, Lord. And I thank you, Holy Father, and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I do want to say this. I'm working with Daystar Publishing now to get the commentary on the book of Haggai out. And when that's done, I will let the listening audience know and where they can get a copy of it. You really should read it. It deals with end time prophecy from the book of Haggai. And it's not a profit-making book. We're not looking to make personal profit. We're a very small church called Bible Believers Baptist Church of Imperial Beach, California. We meet at the Boys and Girls Club. And we have on the 17th a missionary from Orphan Frontier, Lawrence Bowman's going to be here, and he's going to give us a report. He's on his way now. He's been to Africa, and we did work there in Mexico and Cambodia. And by the way, while he was in Cambodia, of interest to the listeners, the monks came and got him, and they took him privately into a room, and they told him, listen, we could be arrested for continue, but we want to know about Jesus. And so God
said, wow.
And we have a good missionary, and he's on his way to India. And so we need prayer. He needs to get his visa cleared. And so we need to pray that God would open that door. And we need to pray for the homeless in the country, and not to just focus on our problems, but look around the world. And you know what? Bring somebody a blanket. Bring somebody a meal on the street. What does it take to drive by and say, excuse me, you're cold? I was out last night at 2:30 in the morning in San Diego, and because particularly they were – I know that there was a killer out there. And I said, well, I know some homeless, and I'm going to go take a ride. And I'm going to see what I see. And I will certainly stop somebody as a citizen. And so I went up, and I rode around for quite a while up in that area, and I met some other people, and there was a heavy police presence. But there were people I noticed that didn't have blankets, and they didn't, you know, and I was concerned about it. It was chilly. And so, but I want you to know something. Just bringing them a meal and a blanket is not the total aspect of this. You need to bring them the gospel message. Because, yes, you can keep them warm for a night or two, but what good is that if somebody's soul is not saved and they're going to hell? We need to bring them the gospel message. Put a track in there with a little bag to make their lunch or whatever you do. And it doesn't take much. We take a ramen noodle soup, a pair of socks, if we have cosmetics, we'll throw a couple in there, and a sandwich. And it makes a difference. And sometimes your kindness will draw them to Jesus Christ because they see the love of Christ in you. But I want to thank you. Nathan, I'm going to turn this over to you. Joseph, good night. Thank you, listeners from Joseph's program and listeners around the world. Thank you for your support, emails, and phone calls. The Lord bless you. Until next time we meet, knees on the floor, nose in the Bible, eyes on Jesus. Amen.
sometime I feel like going home. I feel like going home. Does anybody here who feels like today?
I feel like going on.
Feel like going on.